I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's me, Bart. Good to see you. Been a long time. Yeah, how are the kids? Summer plans? Oh, yeah. Us too. Well, see you later. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz is here. Marco Belletti on the update. I need to get to Marco for a dad corner. My kid has an extensive summer daycare situation going on, and I'm not thrilled with the field trip itinerary, and I don't really think there's anything I can do. So that'll be coming up in a moment. One thing that I wanted to mention, last night I did talk about nepotism, as we're talking about the Utah Jazz hiring Danny Ainge's kid. Danny Ainge is the president there. Nepotism isn't always just family and children. It can also be extended for friends and college association. And that's where some Phoenix Suns fans are questioning what Matt Ishbia is up to. Matt Ishbia, people forget, was a walk-on at Michigan State under Tom Izzo, including the year that they went to the championship and won it in 2000. Mateen Cleaves, he was a walk-on on that team. So Matt Ishbia has made two hires this offseason, two big ones. General manager Brian Gregory, who coached Ishbia during his time as a walk-on, and then Jordan Ott, bringing him over from Cleveland as an assistant. He attended Michigan State, where his coaching career began under Tom Izzo, as a video coordinator. So there's Michigan State connections, and there's other connections, people that were from Michigan, went to Michigan or worked for the Pistons. There's just a lot of Michigan connections. Now, apparently, Ott was Devin Booker's top choice for coach, and Booker was in on the discussions, so it can be on the up and up, but now these guys almost have to double prove themselves because they got this job, but why exactly did they get the job? Just a nice tie-in from some of the stuff I had brought up yesterday. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Wednesday night, saw game one of the Stanley Cup. This was a game where Florida had gone out to a 3-1 lead, and then Edmonton was able to crawl back with a goal in the second, a goal in the third, and then eventually a goal with a half minute left in the overtime period on a power play. So they win in OT 4-3. The Oilers up 1-0 in this series. David is in Buffalo. David, what'd you think of the game?
What a game that was tonight, Bart. Incredible game. I mean, you know, Edmonton, to me, there's been a lot of times in this playoff run they've had where they've been down in a game, down even in a series, and they don't panic at all. You know, Corey Perry took a couple bad penalties in the first period, but it seemed like nothing really bothered them. And I think Bobrovsky giving up that goal in the second period, that, you know, probably helped them a little bit, because Bobrovsky's a guy that, you know, notoriously has played huge in these games. And I just think for Edmonton, that was huge to get off to, you know, the start they got off to, because Florida is proven, and Edmonton, you know, is trying to prove themselves that they can win it all here. I think they can, though. I think it's going to be a tough series, though. I could definitely see Florida winning game two.
Would it be shocking if it ended like in? I just don't feel like we see these kind of series end in like five or anything anymore.
No way. Yeah, I think it's definitely going deep, man. I think it's going all the way. I think these two teams are pretty even. I think you'd say Florida might have a little bit of an edge with the goaltending. I think, though, Edmonton's speed is much more than Florida. I think we saw that a lot in the overtime. Edmonton, I think, had 46 shots, and I think Florida had 32. So, obviously, Edmonton, with their speed and their ability to get to the net, is going to be the real key. Florida's got to keep them on the outside of the ice so they're not getting right up against Bobrovsky there. Because if they do, that can be a real tough thing to defend against. But I think Florida's going to definitely have to have a different plan. I think they've got to keep that center of the ice neat and tight, and they got to make sure they keep McDavid and company on the outside, because if they get to the net, they're in trouble.
Yeah, it should be good. David, enjoy the series. Thanks for the insight.
You got it, man. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
David is in Buffalo, 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. Glenn is in Niagara Falls. What's up, Glenn?
Well, David is practically my neighbor, being in Buffalo. But, Bart, first I got to say,
yeah, you guys should grab a beer sometime.
We should. We made it right at the border there. Bart, you're scaring me, because the way you describe yourself, that's me. I mean, I got the smallest arms ever, and I got the other stuff happening, too. I'm like, oh, my God. You sound like my twin.
You got the thing in your belly?
I got to tell you, I don't play with my belly. That's not
a little different. I play with my belly all the time. All right.
Anyway, so I do want to throw out one thing. Maybe I'm a little nutty, but let your audience decide that. But I think it's going to be Edmonton in five. I said that last week. I really do. I think I know tonight's game was great. But remember last year, Draisaitl was playing on one leg. He was injured. And he's like second or third best hockey player in the world. And, you know, and Bob did steal two games last year. I don't know. I just have this thing that I just like the Eagles. I knew that I called the Eagles to blow Kansas City, so maybe I'm going to go two for two. But I can see this being five games. Really, I do. But anyways, I was calling about the whole Adam Silver thing. And I don't know. I think he's in dreamland and la-la land. Going the way that he's thinking about going, he'll never match what hockey presented. Now, he might match it, and I'll explain that in a second, but first off, hockey players are wired differently. You are right, that U.S.-Canada thing did add a lot to it, so timing was one thing, but hockey players have been dying to play for their country for 9 years. They hadn't played for 9 years, and if you ask a lot of the European players, this might be shocking to a lot of people, what their biggest prize to win is. It's not even the Stanley Cup. A lot of these guys think the prize that you guys just won, the USA, the World Cup, a lot of these guys will tell you they'd rather win the World Cup than the Stanley Cup, and that will shock a lot of people. But I've heard that come out of the mouths of many, many European players. So playing for their country is a whole different thing. Plus, if you get a mixed mash of different players, you're not playing for your country. You're just, like, not playing for the U.S. So I don't see how that's going to work. Now, the only way it could work, and I don't know how many teams could be fielded, but with the Four Nations Cup, the reason it was only four nations was they wanted four hockey powers. Obviously, Russia, they didn't allow him because what's going on over there. But, like, NHL purposely decided not to let one of their biggest stars play. Draisaitl did not play. They, you know, unfortunately, he wasn't one of the four nations. So that was a big decision on their point. I'm not sure how many national teams could be formed out of NBA players. Clearly, Canada could form a team. I'm not sure if Serbia or any of these African nations. But that's the only way. But they would have to regulate it, like, to four teams. If they could find four teams. And if that were the case, I think you could come up with something, although it wouldn't be one game. It would have to be like a tournament, and I don't think they would do that. But if they did that, then I think they could get something where there's national pride on the line. But just mixing people together, that's not going to do anything. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn, for the call. The All-Star game for the NBA next year will be one game, I think, at least. There's a TV window where it will be, because the NBA will be on NBC and they have the rights to the All-Star game now. and it's going to be played in the middle of the afternoon. That's how it was back then. I think NBA with these NBC with these NBA rights is basically just trying to give you what you got in the 90s. If we're getting inside stuff back again, I would be down with that too. But they are going to try to do that, and then it's going to be bookended by Olympic coverage. So some Olympic winter coverage prior, then NBA, and then after. And so it makes sense, TV-wise, to have the NBA have some international flair too. USA versus the world is probably... They can't do what hockey did. They can't do a tournament over multiple days. They can't field teams with NBA players from other countries. They can put together a world lineup, but even when you get a little bit lower down the roster, you know, there may be some guys who would not be all-stars in other years. So we'll see how that works, if they're going to go east-west and then separate them, or what they're going to do. The USA versus the world format, hockey has done that. I believe soccer, MLS has done that, where they've done it against MLS All-Stars. And there's varying levels of success. Typically, it's exciting once, and then it loses its luster. But we'll see how it will play out in the NBA. Again, my main thing with the All-Star game is just do something and play it. We don't need to talk about it all the time. As far as Edmonton in five... the last sweep in the Stanley Cup was in 1998. And that was after four sweeps in a row. How about that? New Jersey in 95 swept the Red Wings. Colorado swept the Panthers. Detroit then swept the Flyers. And then the next year swept the Capitals. Since then, it's at least gone five. It went seven last year. It went five a couple of years ago. Vegas over Florida. It went five in 2021, in 2018, and 2014, 2007. So every couple of years, we do get a series going five. But there hasn't been a sweep in the Stanley Cup since 1998. Kevin is in Illinois. Hello, Kevin.
Oh, Bart, how are you?
I'm good. Kevin, how are you?
Good. I'm good. I told you I'd call back after every one of these games, these hockey games.
Talk to me about it.
Unfortunately, I didn't get the chance to see it. I looked at my phone, and I was busy, and all of a sudden I saw, you know, the Panthers were up, you know, 3-0.
Did you forget it was on?
No, I had something. I had a previous engagement. I couldn't get out of it.
Okay.
So I had to deal with it. But I did catch, you know, that Edmonton, of course, won in overtime, but I was kind of shocked because I heard it went deep into overtime. So Bobrovsky must have looked unbelievable for the Panthers, I would assume. You know, but I was just shocked that they came back, because the Panthers are usually decent on the defensive end. But, you know, I kind of thought I told you that I kind of am wishing that, you know, Edmonton, I think, has the Jets, and, you know, I think they learned a lot from last year. So your previous caller from Buffalo knows his stuff, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, he's sort of become our de facto hockey
expert
guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bright guy. And
he can have that job as long as he can have that job as long as he wants until he wants 1 cent more than he's getting right now.
Understood. You know, I know it's a volunteer effort. But I have a question. The Four Nations thing that I thought was a pretty successful thing, you know, that the NHL did. Are they going to continue to do that? Did he kind of say anything about that?
They're not doing it next year. I don't know that they're even having a game next year because of the Olympics.
Right. So, no, of course not. Right. But
and then they
got
to figure out if they're going to do it again. They want to do it again, but I don't think they've scheduled another time to do it again yet.
Gotcha. Yeah. And they're probably going to treat it like a World Cup thing, you know, where they do it every so often. I mean, how many ever years it is. But it would be stupid, to my opinion, to bother the Olympics. You don't want to do that. That's crazy.
Yeah, but, no, they won't be doing that next year.
No. And like you said, in basketball, you couldn't pull it off. So, but no. It's interesting. It's interesting that, you know, he kind of focused on the Europeans and what's more important to them versus what's more important to the, you know, U.S. and Canada with the Stanley Cup. I thought that was pretty interesting insight, actually. So.
Well, Kevin, good to talk to you. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you again. That's Kevin in Illinois, 888-710-4ISN. Barry in Boston. I went to the bar. I watched the game. I came home. What a game. Right, Barry?
I went to the bar. I watched the game. And by the way, my name is Kevin. My real name is Kevin. Barry from Boston sounds better. So that's my stage name.
What's that?
Yeah. So then then it's
Carlos,
okay.
Will you stop that, please? It was awesome. Oh my God.
All right, everyone. Barry wants you to know that his real name is Kevin and Barry is just his stage name. Okay. You good?
Kevin Barry is, who cares about my last name, is my name. Barry's my middle name.
All right. And why don't you just give us your address and your social? Okay.
No. In my mother's maiden name, and you can drain all my accounts. Anyway, the game tonight was awesome. It was incredible. It was incredible. And I think for someone to say that Edmonton's going to win in five, I think they're crazy. I think hopefully this is going to go seven games because who knows what's going to happen in game two. But game three, you go down to Miami. Got to give two games to Miami, hopefully. I'm a big home fan person. I know it's different in the NBA. Obviously, look at the Celtics. They lost two. They went to New York. They won two. It's weird. So yeah. I am cheering for Miami, but at the same time, if Edmonton wins, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's great for hockey because the Canadian people are crazy for hockey, and Edmonton wants this more than anything. If you listen to the national anthem tonight, the entire place was singing the Canadian national anthem. They're a bunch of lunatics, and I love hockey so much. Thank you, Bart. I love talking to you. Talk to you soon.
Barry, whatever you did tonight, repeat that the next call.
You got that, brother.
Thank you, Barry.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Wow. Coherent, new information, effective. What the hell was that? Barry. Not bad. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back on the Bart Winkler Show. Wow.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We do not like to dabble into politics on the show. But I am going to play a clip from the New York mayoral debate tonight. You pretty locked in on this one, Carlos? You got your vote ready?
Anybody but Adams.
I don't think he's running.
I don't think he can because he's a crooked crook.
This was the last question of the night.
So he thumbs up, thumbs down, maybe. Your reaction, we already heard this from one, to the Knicks firing their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Miss Adams, thumbs down. Mr. Lane, thumbs down, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Our goal is to win the finals. Okay. It's not to get to the conference finals.
Thank you all for a spirited debate. That's all the time we have.
Okay. I don't know which guy that was, actually. But
yeah, I'd need that detail.
he was going out on a limb there because everybody else went thumbs down. Everybody else went thumbs down.
I guarantee you none of them watched a single playoff game.
Thumbs up.
That guy did.
Who would it be? I'm just kind of perusing here. I think it was Zellner. No, it was Michael Blake.
Oh, yeah, that guy has no shot. But you know what? Good for him for being an actual sports fan. Because I hate these fugazi like sports fans that we've had as mayors. Bill de Blasio, everybody gives him crap about everything that he did here in the city. To be honest, I couldn't tell much of a difference. Whatever. The guy was a Red Sox fan. How does that fly? How do you elect a Red Sox fan to the mayor of New York City?
Tisk, tisk.
Unbelievable. And he ate pizza with a fork. What a joke.
Yeah. Why do people do that?
I don't know.
The pizza in half and eat it.
That's the only way to eat it.
Yeah, right? When I was in New York, I got a great New York slice at Sbarro.
What are you, Michael Scott?
No, I did go to a little Italian shop somewhere. Again, when I've been to New York, it was for 6 hours.
Yeah, you got the full experience. What's up, Packers Giants? You in or what?
Yeah, I want to come. I'm in.
All right, let's make it happen.
I don't really want to fly in a plane right now, but...
Well, you won't fly now. You'll fly in a couple months.
All right, we'll see. Especially after watching the rehearsal, for those that have seen it. Let's get to Brandon in Chicago. What's up, Brandon?
Bartizzle Ortizzi. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Sure. So, yeah, what's up?
What's good, man? So, I don't know if you want to say you're going to be coming to New York for the Packers game. Barry might want to drive up there and meet up with y'all. You know, like about how we wanted to go to fly you to Brazil to go see the Packers game.
Barry seems to say he's going to be in a lot of places, and I don't think he's left his living room in 5 years.
So I just wanted to call about the NBA and just about Silver's comments. You know, the Olympics were really intriguing this year, you know, when they beat France for the gold medal. But I don't know if you remember in the 90s, but when USA basketball was with Jordan and, you know, the Dream Team, they battled the rookies and I forget what his name was. But one of the guys, I guess they beat him the first scrimmage. And then the second one, they really... you know, made it competitive. And this year they did the same thing. They scrimmaged with Cooper Flagg and a bunch of the other, you know, sophomore NBA players. I think if you did that, it would be more competitive. If you did, like, instead of doing a, you know, rookie versus sophomores, maybe do like a, you know, a veteran all-star team and then like a sophomore rookie team, and you know they would make it competitive because they wouldn't want to get shown up by the rookies, you know what I mean? You know, if they did do a world thing, I think it would be good to do like a North America versus Europe, because then you could combine Canada and USA and make it more fair, you know, because they're gonna have Wemby and Luka, you know, if they combine France and Serbia. But you know, Tyrese was on that USA team, too.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
LeBron's been giving Tyrese a lot of praise lately, man.
Yeah, it really, you know, Brandon, some of those comments, and thanks for the call, it comes down to, for me, the competitive. I think if you want to have conversations about how to make the All-Star game more competitive... And so if he goes USA versus the world, like SGA, Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Wemby, Şengün, Siakam, Jamal Murray, then what? And Luka and Jokic, they don't care. They don't care. Part of the reason is those guys don't care. When you see these guys slacking off, in the those two don't care. Those two don't care more than anybody else. But the word competitive, it's like, I don't care. I don't care if the All-Star game's not competitive. I don't feel like we ever did. That's my recollection of the All-Star game. We tuned in to see the stars playing against each other. I think what's changed is it's not as special because we see it more. Interleague play, NBA player movement, it's not as special. Guys move more, same in the NFL. It's not unique to see these guys in the same TV screen or the same setting. So, and maybe because of that, that's where some of the competition has waned. But I never tuned into the All-Star game dying for competition. I think over the years, we just need every game to be the best game ever. It's an All-Star game. It is an All-Star game. It is an exhibition. And again, if Adam Silver is going to be tinkering with that and tinkering with the NBA Cup and tinkering with, which by the way, the Thunder lost to the Bucks. Nobody seemed to mention that this week. And tinkering with the in-season tournament, like, focus on the other thing you were talking about. Because now you've got an Indiana-Oklahoma City final, and now you're talking small markets are good as big markets? It took you 14 years to do that, buddy. Maybe backtrack on that a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Dad Corner.
Shut the hell up!
It's Dad Corner with Bart Winkler and Marco Belletti.
Dad Corner evolving into me talking to my therapist, but then wanting to talk to a dad about the thing I just talked to her about. If you will play the role for me once again, Marco, thank you.
Yes, please.
Okay, so here's what's on my mind. Here's what's bothering me right now.
Mm-hmm.
My kid is going to be in this after-school care program, does like a summer version, right? I think a lot of people are familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to school, but it's not school. It's like a, they call it like camp something.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not watching my kid during the day is the thing. And the school's right by my house, and, you know, I love it. He's right there. It's great. Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I didn't know this when we signed up. They go on field trips. And my kid's gone on field trips before. You know, you go 15 minutes to the zoo. You go downtown to the museum. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the list of field trips, and there's some places that I don't recognize. And it's like a water park an hour away and like a zoo an hour away. And I am mortified that my kid's going to be on the bus for an hour as a six-year-old going to some place that I don't know what it looks like.
Huh. I got to tell you, I didn't expect this.
Yeah,
no, you send your kid away because you want them out of the house for the day. And, yeah, they're going to take them somewhere. There's going to be an adult that watch them. I'm good. What's the problem? You think the zoo an hour away is going to be any different than the zoo down the block?
I don't think I'd like him sitting on a bus for that long.
What's he going to get? Hemorrhoids? What's the problem? He's six. It's a bus. They're going to pop up and down. They're going to laugh. They're going to joke. It's going to be great.
I don't know. What if, like, someone runs into him?
Oh, come on now. That's what we're going to do? What happens if he gets hit by lightning? I mean, what are we doing? Come on. Come on. You can't live in fear. That's not the part I know.
What happens if, like, a tiger eats him?
You think the tiger down the street is going to be different than the tiger an hour away? If the tiger's out, Harambe's going to come for him, whether or not, you know, he's in this cage or that cage.
I just don't like it.
Oh, come on.
And I don't know how to deal with it.
You know what? You want him in the house all summer?
Kind of. I miss
all day long?
Yeah.
With no sleep?
Yeah, nah, you put it that way.
Daddy. Yeah, you want that all day? No, you don't. Send him to the zoo.
You know what I thought? I thought, I trust these people, I guess, that are in charge of this thing. But I thought I'd put one of those, like, air tags in his shorts, you know, so I know where he is.
I'm sorry. An air tag in his shorts?
Yeah, you know, like those trackers.
In his shorts.
Well, whatever. I mean,
Bart.
But then I thought, you know what's going to happen is he's going to go to the zoo, going to fall out of his shorts.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be 5 in the afternoon. I'm going to think he's still an hour away at the zoo. He's going to be right down the block.
You really think that this is going to be in your mind while you're trying to sleep during the day after doing the show all night long? Who are you kidding? You're going to wake up and be like, what time is it? Do I have to go get him now? You're not going to care all day. You're telling yourself you're going to care. You're not. And you know
I'm going to find reasons to take him out on those days, I think. I'm mortified.
You know, you pay your money. You put the kid basically in prison because he's in a school at 6 years old.
And that's what I'm paying for. I'm paying for prison.
Exactly. And now you're
complaining. They got a playground outside when it's nice.
Well, but that's the thing. So you're worried about the prison, and now you're upset that they're going to go pick up garbage on the side of the road? Let them go do what they got to go do. Send them to the zoo. I mean, come on. Let the kid enjoy. They get outside. They run around. Put him on a leash. She'll be fine. Send him to the zoo.
I'm sorry, Carlos. Did I hear you speak up?
Send him to the zoo.
Did I get a Carlos in there or no?
No, that's Marco.
I thought you said something. Oh, you dropped a Marco in during a Marco?
Yeah. Send him to the zoo.
Oh. All right. That's Dad Corner.
Can I just throw this in, Bart? Because you could have got this from what I got the other day. From my oldest, who will be 11 in days. You know what I got?
What?
You just don't understand me. It's the first time I've gotten this one.
No.
Kid's not even 11. You just don't understand me. Part of me wanted to bust out laughing. Part of me wanted to punch him in the face. I'm not going to deny that.
You know what you got to do.
I went into the rant of, you think there's TVs?
Send him to the zoo.
I should, yeah. I went into the rant of, you think there's TVs here? You think you're on YouTube? You think you're important right now? What are we doing? Stop the drama. Can we please? I probably shouldn't have gone that far, but I did because I was, you know, caught in between emotion, and that's where I am.
Let me ask you a quick question about the Knicks.
Sure.
Is there a name that you've seen that has disgusted you?
Disgusted? I don't know if
I saw somebody float out Chris Paul.
I didn't even see that. I didn't see that. That would probably disgust me. No. The Dan Hurley makes me look at it and go, are you serious? It's not disgusting. It's just I don't see that working in the NBA, so I have no interest in that being on the Knicks, but I wouldn't say disgusted by that. Chris Paul just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, the thing is you get him to retire and coach just like some of these guys who have coached so successfully, right?
Really? Because I want to do Derek Fisher 2.0? Come on.
I want to see you guys bring back Van Gundy. That's what I want.
Yeah, no, don't do that. And he's my favorite out of all the Knicks coaches. And yes, I'm old enough for the Pat Riley era. I loved Pat Riley. Jeff Van Gundy is my favorite head coach of all time.
Well, thank you, Marco. I don't know that you help, but it's sometimes just good to talk.
Send him to the zoo.
I'm just not sure you understand me as much as I thought you did.
Send him to the zoo. I think I understand you better than you do. I think you're lying to yourself, and I'm giving you the honest, true aspect. You're going to be asleep, and you're not going to care where he is until you wake up, and at that point, it's time to go get him. You're not worried about it.
All right. I appreciate that. Marco Belletti, ladies and gentlemen, that's been another edition of Dad Corner. Let's get another edition of The Update with Marco Belletti.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Thursday's show, we will be talking NBA Finals Game 1, Pacers and Thunder. We will also have a Bartometer least likable champion since 2000. The Bartometer has been printing out some rough drafts, and it's going to be interesting to see what it comes up with. That'll be 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 Pacific. Thursdays until September when it moves to Tuesdays. Mark is in California. Mark.
What's going on, Bart?
How you doing, Mark?
So, I will totally take you guys up on that offer. November 16th in New York? Listen, man, let me know, man. I'm going to be there.
I'm sorry, take us up on what offer?
If you guys want to go to a game, man, you know, I'm buying, you know what I mean? I would,
Interesting.
Okay.
We weren't offering anything, but if you're offering, well, now we got something different going on.
Take you guys to John's of Bleecker Street, best pizza in New York City, man. Don't say Joe's. Anybody who says Joe's is just disgusting. Joe's is nasty. John's of Bleecker Street is up there with some of the best. Prince Street Pizza is also not very good.
I don't know what any of this is. Knicks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk Knicks. So I heard you say, what was a weird name you heard for the Knicks to be head coach? For me, I heard Rick Carlisle.
What?
I heard somebody float out on Twitter that supposedly if Indiana loses in the finals, that Rick could come to New York. Like, what? I heard John Calipari. I'm like, why would he come? I heard Pitino. And then Pitino came out and said, there's no way I'm coaching the Knicks. What? Listen, if Johnny Bryant comes to New York and we fire Tibbs for Johnny Bryant, I mean, somebody has to be a good assistant head coach, right? Like, if we were to pick, let's just say, Budenholzer, you pair Budenholzer with, you know, Johnny Bryant, or the guy from Memphis with Johnny Bryant, or, you know, Mike Brown, or somebody like that, like a decent assistant head coach, now you're talking, you know what I mean? But if it's Johnny
Bryant. I don't tend to like these, hire this guy and then that guy. I'd rather hire a guy.
I've been saying, listen, Tibbs is great. He did great things in New York. Hats off to him. But do you really think that there's another head coach out of these candidates that we just named, the Malones, the Budenholzers, the, let's just say, the guy from Memphis? Do you think realistically, Jenkins, do you think those guys would have taken the Knicks to a championship with the same team that we have right now? I think that they
had something that was still in, like, the works. And I think now that you're firing Tibbs and then you're hiring a guy, and what if they don't? I mean, he got you two wins away from the finals. What if that guy doesn't get there? Then what? Then you fire him? Or we set the bar so high now.
Look at what happened with the Bucks. They fired Griffin. They were like 30-13. And then,
well, they fired Bud before that, and they probably shouldn't have done it.
Right. And then they hired Budenholzer, who won them a title, and then they just said, okay, goodbye. Like, what the heck, bro? You won a title, and I know there were discrepancies with the Bucks, but, like, these teams are so predicated on winning titles, but the window is so low, right? The Knicks don't have a bunch of assets to improve the roster outside, like, a $5.7 million taxpayer salary where they can maybe go get Oubre or Chris Paul or Spencer Dwiddle or whatever, right? They don't really have a lot of moves.
Spencer
Dwiddle,
yeah.
So your only option to really improve. Well, that's the only option to improve the team, Bart, is to trade. And so what are you going to do? Gut the team after you just acquired these guys for better players, and then you're putting a coach in there who might not even want those players. It's a mess, dude. And I was thinking when I watched the series, I was very adamant about I had a lot of bad moves that Tibbs were making with the defenses and the this. But listen, that's Rose's fault for giving Tibbs no bench, because now you're going to go back to year two under Tibbs, if they were going to run it back, with the entire same bench. Do you believe in Tyre Kolek? Do you believe in Pacome Diet? Do you believe in Miles McBride, who I don't. You're going to run it back with the same bench. And it's like the only moves are you trade Karl Anthony Towns for who? What, for Giannis? For Kevin Durant? Like, those no. aren't moves that are going to make you win now. You trade Mikal Bridges after you just traded 4 first-round picks, 5 actually, for him. You trade Josh Hart. He has $18 million salary. That could maybe work.
But well, the other thing I don't know what – Mark, it's almost the end of the show. I got to let you go. Thanks for calling. I don't know what – like, I feel like there's going to be another thing that comes out. I don't know what this Rick Brunson stuff is or what any of – but this last offseason, they gave him an extension that hasn't kicked in yet. He lost to the Pacers in 7. They were good with another year of him. And then he did better, but it wasn't good enough. I feel like he's being punished more for things that weren't his fault. Maybe you don't think he's the guy to get you to where you need to be. So why was he there? You don't think he's the guy to get you to where you need to be after he was the guy that got you further than where you've been? But you don't think he can get you further than that, even though you thought he could? It's just that there's got to be more to this. And then the longer they go without signing somebody, it's like, was this thought out at all? Just one man's humble opinion. Well, I want to thank Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti, Andrew Schlecht, Dexter Henry, and I want to thank you. Pat Boyle next. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.